live from Farm 830 at the First Merit Bank Pavilion at Northerly Island in Chicago, it's The Mike Novak Show. This week I'm joined by Green Diva Lynn, and we take in the sights and especially the sounds of what has become an iconic annual concert in America. This ain't Willie Nelson, but he'll do for the moment.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes, and true currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
Will the circle be unbroken?
Now that's Willie, but this isn't a music show. It's a talk show about ideas, and this week that idea is how to save America's farmers. So let's go to Chicago. It's the Mike Novak Show, and guess what? I'm at Farm Aid with Green Diva Lynn. Hi, Green Diva Lynn.
Hi, how exciting is this?
Yeah, because we're standing outside the media tent.
We're so special.
I came to register and they had my name and everything. I feel as though I exist. Isn't that wonderful?
I am glad you exist. I'm glad you're here because I've really never done anything like this before.
And in case folks don't know, this is the 30th anniversary of Farm Aid. It's on the shores of Lake Michigan in downtown Chicago at Northerly Island. The pavilion's set up. It's earlier in the day, and we just got our marching orders.
Yes, we did.
From the media people who said, okay, here's what's going to happen.
And we are
Don't
following like we're a couple lemmings over here. Or sheep.
What is a lemming? What sound is a lemming make?
I think they are very silent. They speak in sign language.
It goes...
And people, they just follow each other.
Yeah.
That's what they do. And now we're following.
And now we're following the crowd. That's because...
We're lemmings.
We're media people. That's what we do. We just follow the crowd.
Let's go.
We were thinking...
It's a very slow...
Look at the cameras are going over there. We better cover it. So who's going to be here today?
Well, Willie Nelson, John Mellencamp, Dave Matthews.
None of whom we will actually talk to.
Right. Neil Young. Some other people I don't know, and Ian Ian Mellencamp.
Where's your media guide?
It's in my phone, and I'm not looking at it.
Okay.
A couple people you recognize that I don't recall who they were.
But oh, yeah.
Ian Mellencamp was actually
like Mavis Staples? Come on,
exactly.
Give me a break.
But Ian Mellencamp, he's another one. He's an up-and-comer.
You guys already interviewed him for the Green Divas radio show.
Yeah, Green Diva Meg had him on the show. I wasn't able to be part of that because I can't call in to do that. But
hey,
she was lucky to talk to him.
And while we're walking over here, you might want to explain what the Green Divas are all about.
The Green Divas show, we share low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green.
Oh, we're walking by the oil truck. That's not a good sign for a Farm Aid, is it? I hope what they've got in there is vegetable oil.
That would be a good idea. Yeah, I think that hopefully they don't have an oil spill because we're right on the lake.
We'll be mopping it up, using our T-shirts to mop it up. But Green Divas Radio Network and the Green Divas Radio Show, and I'm part of the network, which you can find at gdgdradio.com.
Guess who's calling?
Green Diva Meg.
She's on the phone. I guess I'll I'll answer. Green Diva Meg. Okay, we're walking to the pavilion for the press conference.
Oh, it's the booze stand. We're walking by the booze stand.
They're serving booze early.
It's, what is it? It's 11 a.m. But we're media, and we always drink early.
Mike's got the, he's recording right now, so. Mike, I'm with Mike.
Novak.
Green dude.
Mike Novak of the Mike Novak Show.
You know Mike Novak.
That guy?
Right. Green Devo, Mike.
At the registration table, they said I existed.
he exists, and here we are.
And there we were. When we come back, we'll bring you that press conference where you'll hear from John Mellencamp, Neil Young, and Dave Matthews. Not too shabby. So stick around for that, right here on The Mike Novak Show.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
You might not know it, but I write a column for Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. And if you say, what's that got to do with me? It would be a good question. And the answer is that Chicagoland Gardening is just one of a number of great gardening magazines produced by State Gardening. They're the folks who write my checks. And they're the folks who publish magazines in 21 states, from Minnesota to Florida, from Pennsylvania to Oklahoma. That means that you can subscribe to Kentucky Gardener, but depending on what side of the river you're on, you might want a subscription to Indiana Gardener, or Ohio Gardener, or Tennessee Gardener, or Louisiana Gardener. I think maybe you're getting the picture. Wherever you live in the Midwest or the South, State by State Gardening has a magazine for you. And they feature articles by some of the leading garden experts in each state, including famous authors, nursery owners, state extension agents, master gardeners, and even me. Subscribe today by going to statebystategardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land.
It's the Mike Novak Show, and we're back at Farm Aid 30 at the First Merit Bank Pavilion at Northerly Island in Chicago on September 19th, 2015. Today I'm with Green Diva Lynn from the Green Divas Radio Show, and our first assignment was to hear some of the people behind the scenes, as well as some of the people who are front and center in the battle to improve the lives of America's farmers and to promote the agenda of the good food movement. But they can say it better than I can, so let's listen to a few people you might have heard of before. The moderator is WBEZ Radio's food and agriculture correspondent, Monica Eng.
I'd like to bring in John Mellencamp. John, you understand better than many about the importance of community in rural areas, in not very large towns. You notice I didn't say small towns. What is the importance of neighbors helping neighbors and communities coming together to work on issues like this?
Well, I'm going to ignore your question.
Feel free.
And I'm going to talk about what I want to talk about. And that is, I want to stand up and thank Neil and Dave and Willie and Carolyn. Where's Glenda? You guys understand that for 30 years, every year, we all come here. And Neil, where'd you come from? Los Angeles, right? Yeah. Oh, I meant yesterday. LA, right? Your mother, he came from his mother. Unlike anybody else in the world, Neil came from his mother. Dave, where'd you come from? He came all the way from Seattle. Willie came. I was just with Willie in New York. Carolyn came from Boston. For 30 years, we've been doing this. And I can't tell you, you know, how amazing these concerts have been. Not just us guys, because, you know, Neil happens to be one of the best songwriters of his generation. Dave is one of the most successful touring acts in the world. Willie was one of the original outlaws down in Nashville that changed the whole look of Nashville. When Willie Nelson showed up down there, they didn't know what the fuck to think. What are we gonna do with this fella? So my whole point is that I'm talking about the music. The music has been fantastic. We've had everybody play at Farm Aid, from Dylan to, you know, you can't hardly name a person. Billy Joel, I can just, Guns N' Roses, Lou Reed, people that you would never expect that would lend a helping hand. And we've played all over this country. And I, for one, am humbled and proud just to be part of it. I'm proud of Neil, I'm proud of Dave, and I'm extra proud of Willie for being able to have the courage and the stamina to keep it going, and that's all I want to say. So thank you guys very much for supporting Farm Aid.
Thank you. Speaking of policy, I understand one of the highlights of Farm Aid every year is Neil Young talking about his thoughts on farming, agriculture, the environment, and policy. So, Neil, I'm not even going to try to direct your question, but what do you think Farm Aid can do in terms of educating and illuminating people on policy?
Well, first of all, thank you for everybody that John mentioned and everybody else here for supporting Farm Aid. We really appreciate it very much. You know, it's hard to say when somebody asks you, what has Farm Aid done in 30 years? And some people are stumped and they won't know what. But we've been a friend to the farmer, and the farmer's always had someone to talk to, and we covered that. But the thing we didn't cover is why. And why we need to be together and why we're here is because we're up against a gigantic force that keeps coming at us from everywhere. And it's centered in our government, and it's backed up by multinational corporations who are taking over the farmland of the United States, who produce 90% of the corn. Their seeds are owned by these companies, so farmers can't trade seeds. Currently in the Senate, there's a bill that if it passes through the Senate, it will make it illegal to trade seeds farther than 3 to 5 miles. That means that farmers won't be able to do what they've done since time immemorial, since everything started, the way it's always been on God's green earth, is now, because of our government and the money that they're taking from the multinational corporations, we are being forced to give up the right for our farmers to trade seeds. We need seed justice in this land. We are standing against this thing, and it's so big that we don't even talk about it very much, but it has to be addressed. When you drive across Colorado, when you drive across this great country, you see these lines and lines of corn, many miles and miles of corn fields, and they're all corporate farms. 90% of these farms are corporate farms. The American farm is disappearing. This is a reality. We keep saying we're fighting, but it is disappearing. And they said why. We've only got a few young people involved, and the farms are going to change hands. And we know when the farms change hands, that's when the corporations come in and grab another slice. And then they tell you that they are saving the world, that they're doing this so that they can feed the world. And that is complete bullshit. They're doing this so that they can patent the seeds and control the world. And that's what this is about. And don't let them fool you into thinking anything else. That's what it's about. It's about money and their corporations, and they got to pay the government from somewhere. So it's just a big circle. And we give, and they take. And that's what's happening. That's who we're fighting. Don't ever lose your focus on the fact that to save the American farm and to save the American way of life as it's been for generations and generations, we have to stand up to the American government and tell them enough is enough. We need to change the laws. We're not going to do this without changing the way we do business in this country, because it's going to walk right over us. And it's a sad story, but if people like you will stand up to that and just be aware of it, don't be snowed. These people are not saving the world by growing unsustainably. The world has got to be getting back to the way it was, growing on the earth with the sun and the water, not with the chemicals, not with the controls, with the patents on all the seeds. That's all wrong. The Supreme Court got that wrong in 1996 when former Monsanto employee Judge Clarence Thomas sat on the board and passed a law making it legal to patent GMOs so that Monsanto could continue their race towards dominance of the food world. We're up against a huge thing here, folks. It's so big that I you know, obviously could talk about this for years, but we gotta take it on. And that's what we're doing. Everybody's trying to do it, but don't lose sight of the fact that it's a real thing. Climate change comes from the ground up. It's in the soil. We're destroying the soil. That's where the carbon belongs. It doesn't belong in the sky. All this unsustainable farming is ruining the planet. We have to turn it around and get back. And it's more than just organic farming, although that's the key thing. If you buy organic, you're supporting the movement. If you buy something and you don't know what's in it, believe me, you're not supporting the family farmer. You're supporting GMOs. You're supporting Monsanto, Syngenta, Dow, the American government, all these multinationals all working together in their own interest so they can keep their political offices. They're not working for farms when you buy that food. So please just try to make the right choice at the store and, you know, like, try to get a good night's sleep.
Thank you very much. I'd like to move over to Dave Matthews, someone who I hear really likes food a lot too. Not from that, I just hear you like it. You've stood up for a lot of things through your movement, through your music. What can the average person do to stand up for better food, better agriculture, better environment?
I think that this is a good combo with the two of you because it explains the two sides that we have here. We have a growing awareness, a more public awareness in a way, it's not enough, about where our food comes from and how our food is produced. And maybe more of us know now than did 20 years ago. And maybe there are more local restaurants that have local food that pride themselves in doing that. Maybe there's more publications and it's more a conversation that we hear. But like Neil was saying, and Patrick was saying, what's so crazy is the power that's wielded by the people that are sort of companies like Tyson that are forcing good farmers into situations where they have to produce food in a way that's toxic and it's not profitable, and it's indentured servantry and forcing people down and still forcing them to serve this greater evil. And companies like Monsanto's who pretend that they're protecting the farmers by saying, no, people don't need to know what's in their food. We don't need to know what's in our food because it's all fine. Everything's fine. It hurts the farmer if you try and tell people what's in the food, which I can't do the math for that one, but somehow it's insisted. We have to have both fights. We need to teach our children that what they eat matters not only to their bodies, but also to the land and to the community and to the farmers and to everybody, to the health of the planet. We also need to tell our children and fight for our children against the bottom line interests of big money. And it's not, there's no way Monsanto's is going to say, okay, it is all about money. Why would they do that? Because then they'd be busted. They're going to say, no, it's about saving the world. It's about feeding the children. It's about looking after the land in a productive, efficient way. There's no way Tyson is going to say, okay, well, we're just trying to screw these farmers and screw the land in as cheap a way possible so that we can make our money and our investors and shareholders can get their cake and eat it too. It's bullshit, but we have two fights, and I think this is a perfect example of what those fights are. Education, knowledge, and screaming from the top of the mountain that we need to be defended by our government and represented by our government rather than pushed down by it.
As I said, there are folks working behind the scenes every day, like farm advocate and crisis counselor Mona Lee Brock, who is sometimes called the angel at the other end of the line for her decades of work with distressed, sometimes suicidal Oklahoma farmers. I caught part of her moving story on stage, which you'll hear in a second. She is followed by Joe Schrader, director of the Farm Sustainability Program for the Rural Advancement Foundation International.
After having a conference, we decided that the best thing we could do is just set up a line for farmers to call in. And the first call I had was from a farmer who was being auctioned off. And then the second sound I heard was the clicking of a gun. And you can imagine how I felt at that moment. So I started talking to him, and the name really wasn't important at that time. What was important was, what did he have in his hand? Did he really plan to use it? Tell me about your family. Do you have a wife? Do you have children? Where are they if they're grown? And this is what we dealt on. And the main thing is to engage the farmer in conversation. And we engaged in conversation, and pretty soon he had decided that the sun was going to come out the next morning, and we had a farmer contact to go to him. And there is a gentleman here on the stage with me who was very instrumental in going to them, working with them, and helping to save their lives. And many times he went one direction, I went another. And because of an organization like this, I could count endless, looking back, I would know endless numbers of farmers whose life might have been saved and who are doing well now. This is what comes in on the line. You never know until you pick up that telephone what will come in. Now, this is just one thing, one problem that presented itself. Many others are out there. This is what we're working against.
Thank you so much. Now, Joe, you're a Kentucky farmer and an advocate with the Rural Advancement Foundation International USA. What are some of the challenges that you face with family farms today?
So the year I started this work was 2008. And that same year, the newly appointed Secretary of Ag, Tom Vilsack, made a public decree calling for 100,000 new farmers to replace the aging out population. And since then, we're down about 100,000 farmers. And it's been clear to me that that was a mistake. You know, and I'm not here to make the same mistake to call for new farmers. I want to be here to call for us to save the farms that we've got. The folks who live in those rural communities, who are rooted there, who have family there, who have generations of ag expertise, you go with what you've got. And in order to do that, we have to have advocates. And so the advocates that we have are all sitting behind us here. They've got 30 years of experience each. And they've done incredible work. In order to save what we've got to have more people behind them taking the expertise and turning it into a new generation of advocates. And in order to have a new generation of advocates, we have to have young people coming here ready to do this hard work and learn from the folks that we have while we've got them and while we've got the advocates to fight for. And while we've got the farmers to advocate for. And so, you know, my plea to you, to the public, and to whoever sees this media, is that the farm families, the rural folks, they're the ones who need to decide who's going to be first in line to advocate. They're the ones who know who's got the expertise and the skills and the heart and the courage. And so I want you folks to send me your bravest and smartest and most brilliant young people from the countryside who want to get in and fight. And I'll take them on, and I'll make sure they get to know these folks and understand what this work really is about.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
When we come back, I talk to a couple of important people behind the scenes of Farm Aid 30. right here on the Mike Novak Show.
Captain's log, stardate 42326.1. The Enterprise is under attack by an apparently hostile life form. Mr. Worf, status report.
Inexplicable, Captain. They appear to be perambulating vegetables. We are being stalked by stalks of asparagus.
That is incorrect, Mr. Worf. Asparagus officinalis, or killer asparagus, was the subject of a very popular 21st century tome by the brilliant author Mike Novak.
Mike Novak. I'm familiar with his work.
Mike Novak was one of the smartest, funniest people in the horticultural world of the 21st century.
Sound red alert. Shields up. Tell me more, Mr. Data.
He has been variously compared to Mark Twain, Dave Barry, and Edgar Allan Poe.
Edgar Allan Poe, author of my favorite children's stories.
Captain, I am attempting to access a copy of the masterpiece. It seems to be available online at aroundtheblockpress.com.
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 Yes, Mr. Watt.
Yes, Captain. Aroundtheblockpress.com.
How many times can I say it?
If you're a friend of the earth, you're a friend of mine. One of the tools I recommend for great growing results in your yard is Milorganite Organic Nitrogen Fertilizer. Milorganite's slow-release, goof-proof formula provides consistent feeding, and it's safe for your children and pets. Milorganite contains 85% organic matter, which promotes beneficial microbial activity and improves the soil's ability to grow and nurture grass and plants. Milorganite, for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com for a store near you. Welcome back to the Mike Novak Show from Farm 830 in Chicago. Carolyn Mugar is the executive director of Farm Aid. She was asked to join the organization by Willie Nelson after the very first Farm Aid in 1985. She's been a champion of a number of issues, including social, labor, environment, toxics, literacy, and community empowerment. After I talked to her, I chatted with a person who has been working with Farm Aid from the very beginning, David Center, who is known as the official historian of the annual event. We start with Carolyn Muga.
There must be a real feeling of satisfaction from working with these tremendous performers and being part of it.
Well, there is, and it's extraordinary that this is the longest running Music for Cause event in the country. I don't know the world, but it's the longest running, a benefit concert in the country. And my life is working day to day with people in the countryside, and that's what I absolutely love. Because there's such strength out in our countryside. And it's very, very heartening to know what's in this country. And I know there's tremendous strength. And that is the part that I want people to know. I want people to know how strong people are in the countryside. And what we will lose when you lose the energy and the creativity of a family farmer, the fiber of our society has lost a lot. And, we can't afford to lose that. There's not a lot of energy and creativity the way that farmers have it. So I find it very, it's like mining wealth, That's the wealth, and we have to keep it there. The wealth of our country is with them.
And yet, the numbers continue to decline.
They do, but, the wealth is with them, but farmers totally need everybody who's in the cities. And now that there's so much more growing in cities, it's really great because people get to appreciate the culture of agriculture. It's not just the culture, they're producing food in cities now, but it gives people a chance to have direct contact with growing and with all aspects of agriculture, with growing, with cooking, with putting up food, with tasting. So it's there's a lot to be gained.
I think it was Neil Young today, I'm not exactly positive, who alluded to the idea that the big ag will tell you that you cannot feed the world unless you do it
our way. And we all know that that's not true. We need to feed ourselves where we are. That goes for every country. We all need to grow food where we are, and we need to feed each other where we are. And that is just one of the lies that's put out there, that we need big ag to feed the world. That is, we're shoving farmers off the land around the world by exporting our food to them, when in fact they could be growing.
So it looks like you've made the transition, at Farm Aid from going from rural farmers to urban farmers as well?
Well, it's not the transition, it's the inclusion. It's an inclusion because it's happening and it's real and they're wonderful and it's a great example. So it's really the inclusion. As this is happening, of course we welcome it in. It's a, you know, that's...
And that's been my mission because I'm in the city and
it's fabulous.
And I'm trying to figure out how to make that happen.
Well, you've got some great people, the man that was there from Windy City.
Yes.
I mean, come on, what better example can you have? And farming is a healing profession.
Darius Jones. As a matter of fact, I got a text this morning from Chicago Botanic Garden. They said, did you see Darius?
Yeah,
there he is on stage. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Nice meeting you.
David Center, you call yourself the official or unofficial historian of farming?
Well, I guess I'm the official historian. That's what they asked me to be. And since I've been to every concert and was there in the planning for the first concert, I guess I'm their historian.
All right, well, take me back 30 years. You thought maybe you'd take care of it, one big concert, and get the word out. And that's not the way the world works, is it?
No, and that's not the way Washington, D.C. works either.
Yeah.
But the hope was that Congress would listen and they would change some ag policies and stop this hemorrhaging that was going on in rural America. But Congress,
you mean the hemorrhaging of farms?
Of farms.
Families.
Farm
and,
families.
And the jobs
yeah.
disappearing.
And is also rural businesses were closing. And Willie has used the statement many times, for every seven farmers who go out of business, a Main Street business will close. And you can drive through rural America today. And around those courthouse squares, the stores are boarded up, the windows are broke out. There may be just a couple or three businesses still open in those small towns, and it's because they lost the farmers, and the big farmers buy direct and spend nothing locally. And they don't live there either in those communities. So anyway, Farm Aid worked to address the crisis going on with families as we tried to figure out how to stop the foreclosures and the farm suicide.
So what would you ask Congress to do now that they didn't do 30 years ago?
Well, you know, the reason farmers get foreclosed on or don't get financed is they get less when they sell a bushel or a pound than what it costs them to produce it. And that is that just doesn't work in any business if you're selling for a loss. And farmers don't set the price, they take whatever somebody will give them. So there should be fair policies in place to help protect farmers when prices collapse, to get them through to the good times when then they can get back on their feet, pay off debt, buy some new equipment. So, you know, it's kind of a boom and bust system in agriculture. Weather drives a lot of it. You had a terrible drought in California, you know, or floods we're seeing this year.
Right.
Fires going on all over the West.
What role do subsidies play in this?
Well, if farmers don't get a price out of the marketplace, the government tries to make up the difference through just sending money out. Farmers never wanted a government check. They wanted a fair price for their product in the marketplace. But food processors, exporters, all those guys want to buy cheap. And so they spend money on Congress. They lobby for lower farm prices and just let the government keep the farmers on the land by writing them subsidy checks. So,
yeah, and I've heard farmers say, we don't want subsidies. Don't pay us for not farming. We wouldn't mind a little insurance in case, as you said, the crops fail, you have too much rain or not enough rain, that sort of thing. Is that a more sensible way to go?
Well, crop insurance for agriculture is a big part of the program now. But the problem is it does not make up all of the difference or all the losses. And so while it helps through some get through tough times, it's still, there's not a safety net there. Plus, the government needs to be more active in figuring out programs to help young and beginning farmers get out there on the land. And there's some interesting conversation going on by some of the young farmers here at this Farm Aid about student loan forgiveness. If they start farming, farm for 10 years, go through this process, and where they get part or all of that student loan forgiven or maybe stop the interest rate. There's a lot of different discussion there. But just like they do for doctors or nurses in some places, trying to get them into rural underserved areas for, you know, they'll pay for their schooling if they'll come and doctor in their county for a while.
I love the idea. I mean, the whole educational setup where we put our students in hock for 20, 30, 40 years, maybe the rest of their lives. Right. It doesn't make any sense.
And if these young farmers, beginning farmers, they don't have to be young because we're doing a lot of work with the Farmer Veteran Coalition where veterans that are returning are helping get them on the land. And it's a healing process for those veterans. And some of them are in their 30s or, you know, different ages, but they're just starting. But if they have a student loan hanging over their head and they go to borrow money to buy a tractor or to get seed or whatever they need, they say, oh, well, you owe $50,000 student loan. You don't have any equity here. Mm-hmm. I can't loan you any money. So, you know, there, we have to quit thinking in a small box. We have to get outside of the box and come up with real world solutions to help move people back into agriculture.
That was the serious stuff.
Okay.
All right, let's do the show busy stuff. I mean, Willie Nelson brought you in
yes.
to do this. How did that happen?
Well, Willie called me and wanted to know about having a concert for farmers. I thought it was a great idea. And so I pledged to help him do everything I could. You know,
well, how did you know him before?
Well, we grew up like 30 miles apart in Texas. And so I had gone to some of his shows and all. But I was an organizer of tractor cades and farm protests in the late 70s and drove my tractor to Washington in 1979. And so Willie, you know, I was showing up in newspapers and headlines and interviews through this farm crisis. And so he knew I was somebody not afraid to take on or to stand up, you know, and challenge the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly when he saw a picture of me with my tractor backed up on the steps of USDA in Washington and I chained it to those iron gates. And so, anyway, but that's why Willie talked, and we have had... we've cried together, laughed together. You know, I've traveled on the bus with them. It has been an amazing 30 years.
Where do you guys get the energy?
I don't know. It'll probably take me a few days to get over this week because I hadn't slept much since Tuesday. But, you know, you get the adrenaline going. You get excited. I see these young farmers. That's the future. That's the future. It's not us old guys. It's those young ones. Those ones figuring out how to do it, how to grow that food for us.
Well, David, thank you so much for your efforts and for
Absolutely.
Your time.
You know, the first connection that I remember being in between chefs and farmers, we had when we was in Indianapolis for Farm Aid, and a local chef and local farmer brought in food in her home, and she cooked a meal. And so Farm Aid put a lot of time and effort into making connections. And I don't love watching the Food Network and all those cooking shows, but my wife does. But I sat there and I listened, you know, go to your farmer's market, buy local, know where your food comes from, you know. And so when you have these talking chefs on TV saying, read the label when you go to the store, know what you're buying, then that told me that our word to save the planet, be sustainable, protect the earth and water, that word's getting out. And you couldn't pass a law in Washington to mandate free-range chickens, you know, for eggs. McDonald's last week, all their eggs by 2017, they're not, can't be caged hens that lay those billions of eggs. Well, you couldn't pass a law to mandate that, but to consumers, that that's what we want. McDonald's tells these big chicken integrators that's the only eggs we're going to buy. Well, okay, then that's how we'll do it. So in other words, the consumer individual choices out here multiply, 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 and you get things done. Chipotle, I mean, there's some people doing the right thing in corporate America, and we need more of that to happen. because our Congress, they can't get anything done. They're going to shut the government down at the end of the month.
Yeah.
They're just dysfunctional. But consumers, if they just pay attention to what they buy and what they eat, they can make a heck of a difference.
Excellent advice. Thank you so much, David.
You bet.
By the way, you can get more information about Farm Aid at farmaid.org. That's FARMAID.org. Or go to my website, mikenowak.net, MIKENOWAK.net. Back to Farm Aid 30 right after this.
Hi, I'm Peggy, and I've got great news about Natural Awakenings Chicago. We're now available throughout the city and suburbs, from Lake County to the Indiana state line. So if your sustainable business is anywhere in Lake or Cook County, we want you to be part of our magazine. Each month, more people turn to Natural Awakenings than any other magazine to help lead happier, healthier, and greener lives. If you own a green business or offer healthy living or wellness products and services, you should be working with our marketing team to get your message out to our targeted audience. Natural Awakenings is distributed in more than 1,000 Chicagoland locations, and our readers are looking for products and services just like yours. Join us, won't you? We're online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good. Live simply. Laugh more.
Thanks for listening to the Mike Novak Show from Farm Aid 30. So now that you've had a chance to hear from the folks who work directly for Farm Aid, Green Diva Lynn and I wandered around the grounds at Northerly Island as the concert began, spending time in the exhibit booths with people who want to be associated with this great event. Under the Homegrown Village tent, we talked to some folks who are fighting factory farms in Illinois, something that I've covered on the show in the past. Two of those people are Eric Sterling and Priscilla Reynolds.
30 years, by God! 30 years, have we saved the family farm yet? No! Maybe 31, we'll get it right. God bless you, farm man. Thanks for having the old crows.
With Illinois Citizens for Clean Air and Water, my buddy Karen Hudson is here. And
Eric Sterling.
Lots going on in the state, huh? And what's one of the interesting things is I'm standing here with a map of Illinois, and it says, where are the large CAFOs in Illinois? And this is a conversation, Karen, you and I have already had on my show about CAFOs, which is confined animal feeding operations or concentrated animal feeding operations. You hear it both ways. The Illinois Environmental Protection Agency, IEPA, doesn't seem to know where they are, but you guys are tracking them down, including you, right?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing this?
I'm working with a lot of FOIAs, actually, Freedom of Information Act requests, and I will compile my lists from different organizations, the IDOA, the IEPA, Environmental Working Group, Cattlemen's Association, places like that. And so we're cross-referencing their list with our list, and I'm in the process of mapping out Illinois, and so far I've mapped out 21 counties, and in those 21 counties, they found 150 large CAFOs. I found 235 large CAFOs, 85 more than they did, and that's just in 21 counties.
All right, this is a question I have to ask because I asked it of Karen before when I talked to her. Why is there not a comprehensive list?
This is what we're working on. They don't have a registration
but
process.
You're doing it on your own. You're a citizen who's involved in this. Why doesn't the state keep records of this?
It's befuddling. I don't know. I mean, we've been working hard on this. Karen's been working on this for 20 years. Dr. Kendall Thews and Danielle Diamond sued the IEPA back in 2008 with a de-delegation suit. And they basically got a slap on the wrist from the national EPA. And now I think that we're getting ready to sue them again for, you know, not doing their job. Basically, they're not protecting the air and water for the citizens of Illinois.
One of the CAFOs that we talked about and with Karen, and it was several months ago, is going to be sited near Abraham Lincoln's young adult home in New Salem.
And I didn't catch your name, though.
Priscilla.
Priscilla, that's right. Priscilla is with Crate Free Illinois. What's the status of that CAFO now?
Well, it's under construction along with a sister site that's 4 miles away in neighboring Cass County, just across the county line. And we're going to be blessed with nearly 20,000 hogs when they get the construction done and up and running.
So it's a done deal.
Oh, it's a done deal. They're all a done deal.
So what's going to happen to this historic site in Central Illinois?
Well, we anticipate it's going to be a real stink. We're gonna be in the land of stinking, not the land of Lincoln.
That's right, stinking Lincoln.
Stinking Lincoln.
This is amazing.
400,000 plus people visit New Salem annually. And we're bracing for the impact of what it's going to mean for local tourism. It's not going to be pretty.
No, it's not going to smell pretty.
No, it will not.
Are you going to continue? I mean, what can you do once it's up? I mean, what happens if
well, suddenly, we can track when we smell it. We can track what it prevents us from doing, which is going to be enjoying our outdoor environment. And basically, that's all we'll be able to do is keep records and possibly would be able to do something with that down the line.
A nuisance suit.
That sounds like...
We've got people that are monitoring waterways.
Because that's part of what happens too, is so the waterways get polluted.
Yes.
So it's a big loss for the citizens of Illinois.
Well, not only the one that's in Menard County, there's also one that, in Cass County that's the sister by the same outfit. And it is 3/4 of a mile from Jim Edgar Panther Creek Fish and Wildlife area. And both of these areas have had millions of taxpayer dollars spent enhancing them for the taxpayers of Illinois to enjoy. I don't think anybody's going to be able to enjoy Panther Creek like they have in the past once there's 10,000 hogs sitting down the road. I just don't think it's going to be a possibility.
Also, I'd like to add, Mike, that when a corporation or a hog owner files a notice of intent to construct, it goes through the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Well, last year they broke their record with 146 notice of intent to construct, and they're on pace to break it again this year. So it is happening faster and faster. They're building larger facilities faster than we've ever seen before.
Well, if you want to see Abraham Lincoln's young adult home, you better do it right away.
I would do it before next spring.
Because you won't even have to see it then. You'll be able to smell it.
That's right. You'll be able to smell them coming.
All right. Thanks, you guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Two other people who were there for the music in Chicago came all the way from Virginia. This is Debbie Seal and Jackie Seal. And you guys are from where?
Northern Virginia.
And you're farmers. And Debbie, you told me you've been coming to Farm Aid for a long time.
20 years.
My goodness.
20 years.
Yeah. What brings you to Farm Aid? Why do you like it?
Because we're farmers and we support what they do. And we educate ourselves continuously. So, you know.
So I imagine you're interested in food justice issues.
Of course.
Yeah. What kind of stuff have you grown in the past?
We have grown corn and small grain, cattle.
Beef cattle and hay and all that stuff, you know, yeah. Did all of it over the years. Not doing a lot of it now, but we did it our whole life, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the lesson you learned from doing this for a lifetime?
There's no money in it.
No, not a lot of money in it.
It's like radio.
Yeah. But I wouldn't change nothing. If I had to do it all over, I'd do the same thing.
Really?
Yeah,
why?
Yeah. I was born a farmer, and if you're born a farmer, you're just going to be one, you know?
Uh-huh. Well, you know? Was it in your family?
Yeah, my parents were dairy farmers, and, you know, our people have always been farmers, you know, for generations and generations. So,
About, Debbie, your family?
My grandfather was a farmer.
Uh-huh.
In near Warrenton, Fauquier area, you know.
So you got into this with your eyes open, right?
Sure did.
Yeah.
So what advice do you give to farmers, the young farmers now, because that was one of the things we were talking about earlier today. What advice do you give them as they're setting up their businesses?
Well, to be patient and work really hard and, you know, and don't take no for an answer. Let's keep on doing
it. Keep the fight.
You know? Yeah.
But what's the fight? You know, that's what I'm going to know. You say take no for an answer. Yeah. From whom?
Yeah, well, from the prices and everything else you're doing. You know, it don't always come at your way, but you got to keep swinging and keep trying, you know.
And then there's the story of a man and his tractors.
Manufactured in 1941. Uh-huh. I forget the model, but they just sold it for like $1,500.
What color was it?
Red.
Red, so it was a farm model.
That sounds right.
Yeah, Pioneer.
My dad
H.
kept it working all these years. Not that he had it since 41, but he had it since like the 70s.
Uh-huh.
And they just got rid of their farm and sold the tractor for $1,500, which I heard is really not enough money.
Yeah.
But they didn't care. They just wanted to get the heck out.
Yeah.
It's getting to be a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
That's a green diva, Lynn. Oh, yeah.
You're recording. Okay, so there you
go. Yeah, and having a little tractor conversation with
Joel Greeno, a farmer from Kendall, Wisconsin in Monroe County.
And the tractor, the orange one that we just took our photo of, is the one you brought that.
Yep, I brought a 1935 Alice Chalmers WC that I've been probably playing around on my farm with for about 20 years now and stuff. The family I bought it from, the guy said that it had sat in that cow pasture for over 35 years and we found it. So it was up to the axles on both ends in the ground when we found it. And we took it home and cleaned it up and got it running and been using it on my farm. And it was actually in a friend of mine's wedding a week ago today.
Now, when you say you got it up and running again, were you able to use the same engine parts?
The same engine, actually, we cleaned it up and had it running, and it runs. And after sitting all those years, but I did pull that engine out, and I want to go through it, and because there's some very unusual parts on it that weren't common, so I want to restore that engine before something happens to it, but it does run.
Well, so I got to ask you, did you drive it into that position, or was it...
No, I drove it. I've been on several tractor rides with it. I had that tractor in a friend of mine's wedding just last week.
Drove your tractor all the way here from Wisconsin?
I trailered it in. My truck and trailer's out here.
I use it on the farm. Onto the grounds.
Okay. Yep.
Although that's a good question.
Yep, yep.
So how many of these do you own?
I think the family all together has about 20.
My goodness.
Yeah.
That's quite a collection.
That is a collection.
And how often do you display them?
I had these at Farm Aid 5 years ago at Miller Park. I and my friends had all the tractors there. And then 10 years ago, we had them here in Chicago for a tractorcade we did through town in 2005. And then they were down at Tinley Park for the concert then and stuff. But we do tractor rides for like the last 15 years with family and friends in my area. I've had it to I led 51 tractors, a fire truck and a combine to the protest at the Capitol in Madison, Wisconsin, along with 200,000 people 5 years ago. And stuff, so it gets out and about quite a bit.
What advice do you have for people who are trying to restore old tractors?
Hey, you know, pick your color, spend a little time, you know, whether you're a John Deere fan or an Alice fan or, you know, heaven forbid, a Farmall fan. You know,
why do you say that?
Oh, well, when we go on tractor rides, I always pull a little trailer behind, and they're like, why do you pull a trailer? And I said, well, I need a tow strap for the Farmalls and gas for the John Deere. So, you know, I'm just doing my part.
See, it's a little inside humor there.
That's
with the tractor guys.
That's right. You know, there's a little competition there between brands, you know, and stuff. So the green guys, the red guys, and the orange ones, you know, and stuff. You got to have that friendly competition going on.
So do these tractors ever get used for actual farm work?
Yep, I rake hay and pull wagons around the farm of mine all the time.
What's the difference now in the modern tractors? Obviously, there's, you know, size is one thing, but generally, what's the difference? Are we talking like light year differences?
You know, that's a really good question. You know, this is the 30th anniversary of Farm Aid. And over the last couple of days, we've had meetings with some of the advocates and people that dealt with all the farm and rural crisis issues through the 80s and how they weren't prepared to deal with what they had. And some of the discussion was, let's not reinvent the wheel. Let's learn from the people that experienced it in the 80s and learn off from what they did. And it's the same thing with farm tractors. You know, when the guy built the first thrashing machine that separated the grain from the shaft and the straw was the true genius. You know, John Deere can put a 500 horsepower engine in a self-propelled combine now, but it's still using the same technology that that guy that created the first thrashing machine invented. And that, so I mean, he was the true genius. And you know, my Alice tractor, it's sitting out here, I bought for $75 out of a cow pasture. But the other day going to work, I seen a Case IH articulate all on tracks sitting in a field, and a co-worker of mine, her fiance works for a Case IH dealer. So I said, what's one of those worth? So she texted her fiance, and he texted back, the little one cost $500,000 and the big one cost $750,000.
Whoa. What? All right, it's a pleasure meeting you.
Yes, meeting you too.
Well, Green Diva Lynn, what do you think about Farm Age 30?
Well, you know what? This is actually a lot more fun and interesting than I even imagined. Talking to some of these people, it's not like I thought it was going to be boring, but I was focused on the concert aspect this whole time. I knew there was other stuff going on, but speaking to some of these local farmers and some of the people that are involved in raising awareness about some of the scary stuff that's going on out there is just, I don't know, it's inspiring that there's all of these organizations doing the work that they are doing. I'm being vague, but you can fill that in.
I'll be specific. I'll be specific. The scary stuff is the mud.
It's pretty muddy.
Yeah, it rained a couple inches here in Chicago yesterday.
And this, look at the sky. I mean, it's beautiful.
It's a beautiful day.
We really love
that. And there's a lot of wet grass and mud. The performances continue.
Yes, they do.
It's going to go on.
I don't know who this is. You?
You had to ask, didn't you?
Who's singing here?
Yeah, you'll look it up, and I will know.
It's a cool-looking chick with sunglasses on and long blonde hair.
I think I'm going to go rush the stage.
Okay, let's do this.
But this is going to be going on till the wee hours.
I'm afraid so.
Anyway, it is encouraging to see how many people are in. They're here for the music, obviously. But they're also, just by looking at
that's
the tents.
That's the lure.
The lure, but you look in the tents and you see how many people are talking to the various people, the organizations, the not-for-profits.
Right.
Even the for-profits who are here to support sustainable agriculture and a different way of doing things, as you heard earlier. Heard Neil Young talking about that and John Mellencamp and Dave Matthews. I'm Mike Novak from The Mike Novak Show, and you are?
Green Diva Lynn Hasselberger from the Green Divas Radio Show.
And thank you for being with us today.
Thanks, Mike.
Farm Aid 30.
Free bird.
Woohoo.
You can find more information about The Mike Novak Show at mikenovak.net. That's MikeNowak.net for links, photos, and commentary.